All right.
He's in that, looks like. There he is.
Uh-oh. There he is.
Yeah, you heard me start to give him shit.
No, right.
Hey, hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Happy tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll be long. Still sunshine, shining, guys. So by the time we play these December games, it's going to be dark, you know. It gets kind of dark up there in Sweden, I think, in the wintertime.
Fantastic. Hey, Travis, are you on?
I'm here. Yeah.
Hey, fantastic. Fantastic. I didn't know we put the phone number out, so I didn't know if you'd be able to connect. I'm glad you are.
Yeah, I shut my Wi-Fi off, so I just use up my data, but I think it might be better than my so-so Wi-Fi.
All right.
But all these guys are talking about snow, and I can't relate to that.
Yeah, no snow here yet. It's getting close.
It's supposed to be about close to 80 degrees here today. So,
holy. Oh. Fantastic. I don't think I have my camera on. Not that you guys benefit by
seeing. There you go. There you go. There he is.
We're just starting to give you a little shit, Dave, for being off your game.
Well, how's
coming
that?
Coming on a little late, and then last week giving the wrong web address. And I'm like,
man.
Because I went to that web address, and I'm like, crap, that's not the one.
That's not the one. Hopefully it wasn't. Hopefully it didn't like, send you somewhere.
It looks like good glasses, so I'm gonna get some beer glasses out of that thing. So
fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, man, I haven't listened to the Georgia show, but I recorded just, I don't know, like a cheesy sort of ad spot in the middle. And then I realized, shit, I put the wrong name in that too.
Wrong name. I think you may have had the wrong code too. So
yeah, I screwed it all up. I screwed it all up.
So. Hey, but the main thing is we beat Georgia.
That's right. Yeah.
Let's Everything else is right in the world.
What's it? Well, let's talk about that, man. That was pretty fun, huh?
That was as fun a game as you can see.
Yes. Yes.
Back to the old kind of, you know, kind of got it in control of the game, you know, eventually at one point just shut it down with the run game. Boy, that felt almost, you know, unbelievable.
Yeah, that had an old school feel to it, right? You know, I mean, the defense wasn't as crushing, but, you know, taking the air out of the ball, especially in the fourth quarter, what, 11 minutes in the quarter? Yeah. That is insane. And then doing that when you already have, you know, what you think is going to be a really good lead, the offense is firing. Holy cow, that felt really good. And that, man, that kick going into half. I mean, what do you guys think? I think that sort of really was a spark. I mean, there were multiple sparks, you know, Saban sort of coming out of the, you know, unexpectedly. And then that kick, holy cow, that was impressive.
Yeah, yeah, well, any kick over 20 yards is like impressive for us typically, right?
right.
Well, then when it was ticking down to 3-2-1 seconds, yeah. You know, that part of history hasn't been on our side.
Yeah.
So, right. So right. For everything to go well, including the kick, was kind of like a turn of the dial.
It was. So yeah. Much. I mean, you're exactly right. So many things went right there. You know, in what, 23 seconds or 20 seconds effectively, you know, we moved the ball like, you know, 40 something yards. I mean, everything was clicking, right? It, you know, it's exactly what you'd want to draw it up and then, you know, make a long kick. And I mean, they still led at halftime, but it felt like we were winning at that point. The way that all that sort of fired together.
Well, especially when Kirby was trying to wave everyone off the field, like, just like, forget about it. Halftime's over. I mean, that was probably even as more rewarding as anything.
Yes. Yeah, you think like a coach is like, y'all kick a 52-yarder, go for it.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out. But, yeah, and that was just a bad
altogether. Yeah, that kind of worried me a little bit, because the last time if we asked for 1 second – to be put back on the clock for a field goal, didn't turn out too well, did it?
Yeah. It was a similar distance, too. You're exactly right.
Exactly.
So, holy cow. Absolutely.
But you know what? It was just funny because when you mentioned the defense, And just before I jumped on, I was reading The Athletic. I don't know if you guys seen it or not, but and it says, was it in six quarters against Ole Miss in Georgia through halftime Saturday, Alabama's defense has allowed 72 points. That's compared with the 2011 team that allowed 105 points in 13 games. So there's a little point there about the defense, just to back up a little bit.
Well, you know, even Saban was out. Like, you know, you just can't play defense like it did in the old days, right? That defense doesn't win games for you anymore. It's you just got to kind of hold on and outscore them.
Well, what do you guys think about that? Go ahead, Clint.
People are spreading it out so much. He's already faced this year more spread offense than he faced that entire year.
Yep.
I mean, you can't with, you know, trying to guard always three, but sometimes four wide receivers.
You know, Saban, when he's – and all of that is exactly right. Saban, when he says things, there's almost an economy to his approach. Because he's saying what he's saying, but he's saying like three other things too that you have to sort of filter out what he's saying. What I heard is he ain't holding back on the points. he's gonna. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna go so far as to say he's gonna run it up, but you know, if it's truly an offensive game like that, then you can have the mindset that I almost can't have enough because I can't trust that we're gonna stop them, and so. You know, I thought we might put 50 on Tennessee today. I'm a lot more confident of that after hearing his quote and thinking about it a little bit.
60. Well, it depends on if we get a comfortable lead or not. I think he will pull back with a 4-touchdown lead. If Garen Turnover does his thing and throws three interceptions and we're, you know, 28-0 and a half or 35-0 or something like that, I believe he'll let the other guys show. But if we're within three or four touchdowns, he'll keep the first team in just like
that. Yeah, yeah.
So the only way we get over 50 or 60 is if we do that, I think. Because, I mean, if it stays close, I mean, if it gets wide in a wide lead, we'll probably stop at 40.
Yep, yep.
So everybody's betting on Bama to cover. Is that it?
Hammered it.
I think so.
Probably a lose because I did, but I hammered it.
Yeah. It sounds like Tennessee fans are too, right? I mean, holy cow.
Well, the funnest thing to watch was, you know, once Alabama's scoring, you can just see the pressure mount on the other team's quarterback. And if you don't feel like that quarterback is like got his A game on, you could kind of see it where, you know, he'd have an overthrow and you could just feel the pressure mount on that guy every time he trotted out on the field because he had to go toe for toe. And then every time they were three and out or four and out or whatever, you could just feel his confidence slipping.
Right.
And that's kind of the new defense, right?
Yeah. And so I think you're right. And so on Malachi Moore's interception, which was the first one where the guy tipped the ball and he caught it basically at the end zone.
Yep.
If you go back and watch that pass, it was a horribly thrown pass. It wasn't a spiral. It was kind of fluttering a little bit. I mean, he was pressured a little, but not that much. And so if he lets a pass like that go, it's exactly what you're talking about. It's something in his head. He feels the pressure to make something happen.
And that was double or triple coverage at best, not just the flight of the ball being crappy, but under limited pressure, but just what he was throwing into, like every component of that pass was bad. And in the second one, the next one was worse. I mean, rolling out, sort of throwing it up in the air. I mean, there's just that's a desperation play. And so what's interesting, and you guys are – everything you're saying is 100% right. You take a quarterback that – and I'm not mad at the guy, right? But, I mean, he's an overachiever by every sort of stretch of the imagination, right? And God bless him for all of that, right? But, like, in the back of his mind somewhere, he knows there's a cap to what he can do. And he realized he was running into that, and he just got really desperate. And then,
yeah, I mean, making the Georgia team is probably, you know, should have been his ceiling, right? Yeah. You know, let alone starting against Alabama, right?
Mm. Right. Absolutely. That, yeah, he was rungs ahead of where he should have been. And not to rub it in Kirby, but I mean, God, I mean, how true is this that he's got to be thinking, damn it, I could have Justin Fields on this team. Like on this team, not hypothetically, like he could have been, but he could be on this team this year to balance off the offense against, you know, with what they have on defense. And if they hadn't chased, you know, Stetson got a, and I'm not mad at any of these guys, but Stetson got a scholarship, that Jamie Newman got a scholarship. All of these scholarships that they've given away, you can't tell me they could have brought in more, you know, receiver talent, much less recruiting would have been better. So the offense, I mean, you had Justin Fields. I was thinking about this the other day, like Justin Fields on the existing roster is better. Like if he suits up this morning, they're better this afternoon, right? If he suited up in fall camp, they're better because they've got all of camp. But if he had never left the team, like the recruiting would have been better. And so there's like layers upon layers of how much better Georgia could have been. Charlie, you're smiling like you're enjoying this.
Oh, you're right, Don. Well, yeah, you're right on spot. It's great.
Yeah, well, we could be seeing a Georgia team later on with JT Daniels under center there.
Or right.
In the shotgun. So we can't, you know, and that is an automatic upgrade right there. I mean, I haven't really seen the kid too much, but, you know, all the hype he was getting out there at USC and all that stuff, you know, so that's something to be that remains to be seen, I think. So
yeah, well, and I think if you're Kirby,
when was his last game he played though?
What
did he miss JT all Daniels? Of last year too?
Yeah, he played. I think it was his first game, right? I'm not even sure he made it out of the half.
I think you're right.
Because the quarterbacks were just dropping like flies out there.
Yeah,
and then you ended up with what's his name again? Keaton Slovis, right?
Yeah.
I think
he started last season. Is that right?
He started, okay. But it was his first game out. He got, I think it was his leg.
Yeah.
I think it was.
His knee was torn.
That was it.
And he only just recently was cleared, you know, to practice. And so.
Well, that's just it. Well, is he supposed to be injured again? Or maybe he's still being spooked by his old injury. I'm not sure. But sure as heck, he would be starting there now instead of Stetson Bennett. I mean, that's for sure, if he was healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, if he's healthy, you have to make the move. If you're Kirby, you know, you have to make the move because the writing's on the wall. You know, we're going to try to take care of our business in the East, but we're not getting out of the SEC with Stetson. And God bless you, man. We love you. But, like, we saw that. So we've got to try what we can try. And so that'll be interesting to see. What'll be telling is, you know, how much of this is in their head, and you know, how much does Florida, you know, Florida becomes a higher mountain because now there's more pressure on, you know, even the Florida game. So I don't know. So that'll be cool to see.
Yeah. Well, I pick Florida to win.
Some of these key games get canceled, right? I mean, crap, you know, with last week, Florida getting canceled, and all of a sudden a Georgia Florida game is teed up and that gets canceled. No, I mean, what? I mean, that just throws a huge monkey wrench in all this stuff.
It does. You know, there's one week they inserted, was it December the 12th? I think there's an extra week before the SEC championship, but you can only catch up, you know, that's just a one game catch up. And you might would even have to prioritize, you know, what you would play there. I guess the alternative is, do you push back the SEC championship? I don't know.
You know, yes. I think we brought this up a couple of weeks ago, maybe.
Yeah.
But what I feel really bad about on the 12th of December, because you already have a couple of games penciled in there.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Army and Navy, man. That's supposed to be their day.
Yeah, that is their day. Yeah. Yeah. You have
wrong. And then all of a sudden, I mean, who's going to be watching that when you got LSU Florida on the card, right? I mean, so it's, you know, so I kind of feel bad for them.
Right. You know, that game could end up, I mean, that was going to be a blowout. Florida, I think, was going to kill them. But, LSU might have their legs under them. And then that might actually be a game to help, you know, that would, you know, play out in the East, right? Give Florida a second loss. I guess Georgia would already have the tiebreaker under that type of scenario. But still, it'd be interesting to see how it plays out.
That's why it's good for us to have a solid victory, you know, over Georgia. I mean, it kind of makes the rest of the season. I mean, I don't know who our next best competition is going to be. I mean,
Auburn?
Auburn. So
the SEC championship is the next one we got.
During the guaranteed game on the schedule, right? I mean, I don't think I would have said LSU, but I don't think it's LSU now.
I don't think it's LSU.
No, actually, I got to say, because that's one thing that's actually kind of concerned me, because this Georgia game was big. And, you know, you look at the calendar, everyone's looking at the calendar like, you know what, this is probably the biggest game we're going to have this season. Now they climb that mountain. They got to keep yourself motivated all the way through and not take your foot off the gas. I mean, it's easy. I mean, I know Saban is a master at keeping his guys motivated and all that stuff, but still, you know, with the toughest game you're going to have this season behind you, and it looks relatively like more or less like, I don't want to say a cakewalk, but along those lines the rest of the way till you get to the SEC championship, you know, just keeping those guys focused, because, you know, you can stumble anytime along the way there. You don't want that happening. Yeah. So,
you know, I think, you know, today and next Saturday, and then we get a bye, and I like the placement of the bye, you know, six games in. So it's just a four game sort of stretch. I think they can sort of reset, you know, so I'm not saying today's a threat, or necessarily next week, but I think that bye will be an opportunity to sort of reset. And I don't know, I don't think any of those games necessarily knock us off, but this is where we can say this as fans and, you know, the players can't. But, you know, Kentucky is sneaky dangerous. You know, Arkansas, I don't know what to make of them. I don't consider them a threat necessarily, but who would have guessed that they would do this? Auburn's always – man.
Yeah, but they're in Tuscaloosa this year.
Well, and that's true too, right? That's true too. So
they can spike the ball behind them and somehow not get, you know, called. You know, that's the thing. They have this luckiness about them. And they're especially.
Yeah, they really do. Especially in Jordan Hare. Heard someone say that the stadium was built in an old Indian burial ground, and so they get the benefit of all of the. So I thought that was pretty good. I wish I had come up with that.
Yeah, I mean, it could be very well. I mean, you know, well, it's every year, but, you know, Auburn fans are on the warpath for Gus's head. You know, and it could come down to where that game might just, you know, pull a rabbit out of his hat, out of the hat, like he usually does to save his career or his job at Auburn anyway. But like I say, it's in Tuscaloosa, so crazy things happening are kind of limited, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. So I think, you know, when we're kind of if everything goes according to plan and we're undefeated going into the championship game, it's hard for me to see that we don't make the playoffs no matter what happens in that game.
Right.
Well, what do you do about the Big Ten? They're starting today. I mean, the thing, and then everyone, I mean, all the, I mean, you guys probably seen it all week too. I mean, everyone's like, can anybody stop Ohio State, this, that, and the other thing. So what do you do with an undefeated Alabama? But then you have, let's say a one loss Ohio State, but they're only playing, what is it, eight games? Yeah. I think all the conferences go in descending order. The ACC is 11. We're 10. Big 10 is 9, Big 12 is 8, right. and Pac-12 is 7, right? So, how do you figure out that mess, though?
I mean, I just think the Big 12 already excused themselves from the playoff. I don't see anybody in the Big 12 that can get in.
I don't see how the Pac-12 can get in either. I mean,
not the Pac.
No,
I don't think there were a risk for it anyways, but.
So you're left with only three real, you know, you can give the first place of each one of those conferences and you'll have an at-large. I think Alabama will have a strong one, as their only loss would be Georgia, which would presumably be one of the top four teams. It's a lot to be seen, but we're sitting very pretty. We're sitting very pretty.
Yeah, we're in good.
Guys, when you're done talking about playoffs, let me know. I'm superstitious, like there's no tomorrow, dude.
Okay, all right.
It's like last week. I wasn't gonna say a score, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
And it worked.
Here you go. There you go. All right.
All right. We're done.
Done with the playoffs. Nice. Yeah.
For now.
That's right.
Well, what about Nick? What about Nick getting cleared for the game? That was a nice little break for the home team, huh?
I heard, what do, go ahead, somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it's the reason why you go get second opinions, right? I wonder if that'll change every way that people, when they get analyses of their players or their big time, you know, they go back and try to do this retesting the next day. Yeah. So I wonder how many people just get tested and they think, oh, well, I'm positive. Let me stay over here. And,
right.
You know, it's not unheard of to have no symptoms. So just assume it and kind of move on. But I think it just goes to show you that every test, any kind of medical test, has an inaccuracy that creates false positives.
Normally you're not going to go get tested unless you're sick, right? So, I mean, you know, it's a weird situation when they're being tested like daily, and then one positive test, among a group of people who, 100 other people who don't have a positive test, is like, it should be a red flag that it's probably a false positive, but then you still have to go through the protocols.
What's interesting for the Alabama Jet, right?
Yes. I was going to talk about that. They took that sample Saturday morning and flew that bad boy down to Montgomery.
Yeah, you think they were going to throw that in a 1982 Toyota and drive up to?
That's right.
Where's the driver?
That's right.
We asked about that last week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some undergrad in his beater is going to drive it down to Montgomery. It's stuck on the side of the road with a flat or something. No.
Well, I heard his positive test was a conspiracy theory anyway, because the CDC's out of Atlanta and they didn't want him to be able to coach.
Ah, there you go. Nice. But what's interesting is, it does make you think about, the negatives, but, what is it? Byrne had symptoms and has been, again, that's, how that's been reported. And so that's interesting. I was equally as surprised. Less immediately concerned, right? But I was equally surprised that he came up positive as well.
What was his a false negative or a false positive, rather?
No, he had it.
No, he's
he did have it.
He had it. He's still under quarantine.
Quarantine.
Yeah. He's about to come out of it, but I mean, he started to have a fever and symptoms, and he's still sort of on the tail end of that.
Because I wasn't really all that surprised that they both tested positive, because I mean, how many times a day they talk to each other, right?
Right. They're going to be.
That Nick got the false positive was somewhat of a surprise there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe the little Debbie's is like an antidote or something.
Who knows, right?
Nice one.
Good material there.
When Nick dies finally at the age of 130, they're going to, find that he had the cure for coronavirus all the time.
All along, that's right. When he does, we're not rooting for this to happen anytime soon, but when he does retire, I can't wait for the flood of articles that come out and say, see, I told you he wouldn't stay there forever.
They have to stop now. It's too late.
I don't know, man. They'll be out there. I told you he was going to leave you guys. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I would have, taken pretty good odds that, 5 years max, He's been here, 12 now?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
This is longer than I expected. He went to, this was years ago. This predates the podcast. But, Tommy and I were thinking, even when he was at LSU or maybe even – by that time, I think he had moved on and he was with the Dolphins, and there wasn't real, it was at a point where, we didn't even think we were going to get rid of Shula. So we weren't, even predicting, but we were just saying, if we can get a coach like that, that can come in and really just build up the program, because that was at a time when Les Miles was really having success, at LSU. Yeah. And so our thought is, if we could land a coach like that, just to come in and put in the infrastructure and then hire a competent coach after him just to keep it, on the rails, that we could really be successful. And that was sort of, that was sort of the peak of our hope. Who would have guessed, 12 or 13 years of Saban, and then still have the opportunity for someone to come in after that. And then holy hell, who would have expected this type of, come in and have success? That's phenomenal. But this level of success, this is even beyond what any of us should have expected.
Well, I think
shouldn't be able to, right?
I'm sorry about – sorry, James, go ahead.
Oh, no, I mean, it's, just to be in national title competition, every year, really. you know, it's just phenomenal. Having to go through the SEC schedule, survive the championship game, you know, it's just so hard to keep that level of talent, let alone, you know, the coaching staff and all of that together, right? It's just remarkable that it's been a couple of times in his tenure, you know, since that first year that it wasn't in reach.
I was just going to say that, you know, at least according to the New York papers at the time, we can thank Miss Terry that he's still there, because the Giants were really, they were flirting heavy with him. And apparently he was on the verge of saying yes. I think that was the same time when Mac Brown in Texas too, right?
Yeah.
Because Texas was also in the mix there. But Miss Terry, she just didn't want to move to New York. I can understand why.
Right.
But after that, then at least in my mind anyway, there was no doubt in my mind he was going to go anywhere else. He was going to just stay put right there.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
We've certainly benefited by it. Mm. We used to, and again, this sort of predates the podcast too, but Tom and I used to talk about, we were lucky that, you know, because he had reached the point, he was going to play out his contract or coach out his contract with the Dolphins, because that's what he was going to do. But the fact that we had a job opening after he had sort of reached that inflection point that he wanted to get back to college. And, you know, I said, it's like, what's that old game, sort of musical chairs. We're lucky that we had a seat open when the music mm-hmm. stopped, and that Mal Moore was, you know, persistent in, you know, bringing him in, because he would have gone back to LSU. He would have gone to Georgia. You know, there's some reports that on paper he liked Georgia better than Alabama because it's closer, you know, to Atlanta and the metro area and all of that. I don't like to believe that that's true, but
I mean, what if Rich Rodriguez had taken the job?
Right.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't carry this shirt.
Yeah. You know, I am against being mean to people, but whoever it was that posted bad things about his wife, it's like, don't do that again. But, you know, if that's true, I don't know. The rumor is that, you know, that influenced part of their delay there. So I don't know. But yeah, the story on that, holy cow. Yeah, we ended up.
So Dave, changing gears, what do you think the biggest, themes or, you know, kind of topics will kind of play into today's game with Tennessee? What do you think the big kind of focus items will be, or the key things of the game? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think, maybe my head's not in the right place on this one, but I think on offense, we're going to be able to do almost anything we want to do. I really do. I think that we will really have our way with their defense. I think their defensive line, I don't think their defensive line was that bad necessarily. You know, they weren't world beaters, but they were solid. They were good. And then so to turn over the coaching mid-game, mid-season, however you want to define it, that's just nuts. And so the line will probably their line will probably come out super aggressive from the beginning. but I don't think that's something – I don't think that they'll come out at a pace that they can't maintain. And so they may stuff us, you know, a little bit early in some of the run game, but I don't think we'll have much trouble throwing over their head in that regard. And so, you know, give it a couple of series, but I think we're going to end up being able to have our way with them on offense. And in their offense, I mean, they've got a couple running backs that are pretty good. I mean, even by their own admission, they don't have a tight end that, you know, that can, you know, line up straight and make a play. They might have one wide receiver. And so when you start thinking about, you know, sort of the Saban mentality of what do they do best? Let's take that away and then start to, you know, filter it down from there. I mean, you put PS2 on their best receiver, and then I think we've pretty well sort of isolated, you know, that. And then their running backs, I mean, I don't want to say they're not a threat, because I think they are. And I think they need to do something creative with their running backs and on, you know, running routes. Eric Gray has run a lot of he's their third leading receiver. So they're probably going to run him into the ground, not just running the ball, but just you know, passing plays, wheel routes and stuff like that. And so they may pop us a little bit on some big yard plays there, but I just don't think it's something that they can sustain. It's not going to be like the Ole Miss game where we're just trading touchdowns, because I don't think they have the weaponry for that. And so they're going to make a couple of big plays potentially early, and not even for touchdowns, but just chunks of yards. And I think we're going to be able to adjust to it, much like we did against Georgia. And so it's going to look more old school defense against Tennessee. And so our defense is going to peak. Their offense is going to go down. Meanwhile, our offense is, I think, just going to take off. I mean, I don't know. You tell me what you guys think, but I don't see this game being much of a contest.
I agree. I don't think they stop the run. I don't think they stop Najee. If Georgia can't stop Najee, but I mean, they kind of contained him a little bit in the first, you know, half, maybe even just the first quarter. But Najee had a pretty decent day all day long. He had chunk yardage from time to time. And, you know, then we'd follow it up with a long pass or a pass play on third down to kind of complete it. But, and so if they can't stop Najee, I don't think Tennessee's going to stop Najee. And if they don't stop Najee, there's really not much more analysis you need. The pass guys, I mean, if they have to devote resources to the box, forget it. Forget it. Forget it.
What's their offensive line supposed to be?
Their offensive line is supposed to be really good. It is 4 5 stars and a 4-star. And so on paper, it's supposed to be really good. Everything I've heard is the interior of the line is really, really good. But with injuries and rotation, they really haven't settled on their best five. And so the tackles have really, you know, given them fits. So, I mean, Will Anderson may end up having a big day if they're struggling with the tackles. And you know, what's interesting is their center, Brandon Kennedy, is former Alabama player that he transferred. This is his sixth year. He got some sort of exemption. And I think, man, if he were at Alabama, he might actually be our starting center, which would allow Landon to play guard. And so he might be one of the few players in the country that could make our line even better than it is. But yeah, I think their line is pretty good, but I don't see it.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen, but I sort of hope we take this chance as an opportunity to fine tune our defense.
Yep.
You know, maybe find some, you know, try some different stunts to get, you know, some sacks and hurries and rushes, and figure that our offense is going to go toe to toe and, you know, kind of outscore the game, and use this as a chance to see, because Will Anderson, I mean, he's been a little effective, but I just think I'd like to see a little bit more work on that.
Yeah.
On the defensive side.
Yeah, just to piggyback off of that, what I'm most interested in is see, you know, if we can actually get off the field on third downs and, you know, hopefully work on that. You know, I'd like to see actually, you know, Dylan Moses get a little bit more, you know, so, you know, sometimes, I mean, we talk about him a lot and he's great, but sometimes you forget he's there.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's, you know, if it's the leg or whatever it is that's, you know, kind of bother him a little bit, but all of a sudden, like, you know, he can disappear for a few plays. And then all of a sudden he pops up, you're like, oh, yeah, Dylan Moses is there.
Well, you can tell when he's there, because he'll, like, shoot and then, like, clip a guy on the side, you know, trying to get on the edge, and he'll just shoot, and all of a sudden the guy's down. So,
yeah,
when he makes those plays, he's like, damn, that's the Dylan Moses we're looking for.
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly.
Then about 8 plays go by and you don't even hear his name.
With name anymore. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So those are a couple. And also just the discipline, you know, good opportunity to cut down on some of those penalties, you know, some of those, you know, that will extend the drives.
Yep.
But I sure like seeing, like, last week, seeing those couple of interceptions was just awesome. Because what I flash back to is when we had, like, Eddie Jackson and, you know, all those guys. And when they made an interception, you could just see the whole team just like they're on a mission, you know, they're all looking who they can do. And just seeing that whole thing, I think was just awesome.
Yeah.
And then obviously it helps, you know, because down the road, if we need big plays and we get an interception, you know, we got to see those guys gel together and start being blockers and, okay, where are you going to go? And
right.
And I just think Eddie Jackson, and I mean, just all these, awesome plays go back. So it was fun to see the couple interceptions last week. To see that team sort of get the taste in their mouth. And obviously that's a big part of us, you know, being successful in the game. So that was awesome to see.
Absolutely.
Special team, my favorite. I did some film study this week on special team. And we had like, so the only thing I disagreed a little bit on your podcast was the punting was, I agree, has been horrible. But when I looked at it, because of our offensive performance, he was punting from either just over the 50 or kind of around midfield. And so his 30-yard punts, a lot of times, I think he punted four times. And three out of them, they started within their 15, which I consider a success.
No, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
If you have a 30, and they were like 33, 32-yard punts or whatever, but you're not going to want a 45-yard punt.
That's fair.
But there was one. So I think there was one when we kicked it from our own 27, and it didn't hardly make it past midfield. So that's the one where I agree with you. Like,
that's the one that stood out in my mind because I kept seeing us start, you know, way back in the shadow of our end zone, and all of a sudden they're starting, you know, almost in midfield. I was like, we can't do this. But you're right. I didn't go back and look at all of them. I just
The other side of this is the kickoffs, every kickoff, there was no kickoff greater than 61 yards, and there was no kickoff less than 59. And so there was like a tight range of what this – what you know, there's actually two kickers. We had Chase Allen and Will Reichert, you know, kind of going back and forth, and neither one of them could kick it over 60 yards, which is hard to believe that Will Reichert can make a 52-yard field goal but can't kick it more than 60 yards downfield. The math doesn't work.
Right.
I mean – The goalpost is what, you know, a couple yards high, and you know, I don't know, the match just doesn't work. And so, and plus you got a running start. And so I don't know. So there's something going on with the kicking game. I don't know what it is, but I think Saban said something to that point. It was like the average starting distance on Georgia side was around 40, like a little bit less than 38, I think is what I got. And so, you know, that's not what you want. I mean, that you get ready to kick it out of bounds. Just kick it out of bounds. Give it to him on the 35 instead of the 40. Right. I mean, that's silly how that is. But, you know, that's what I think. I think something's got to change there. I don't think it's going to matter in this game. But I think this is where you try to do something. You know, try a new kicker out or something.
Right. No, I agree. Yeah, I think we definitely need work in that area. I think this is a game where we try to – it'll be interesting. The secondary is something I'm, you know, and maybe I'm thinking ahead to Mississippi State next week. And not that they've done really, really well, but memories of that LSU game and the yardage they sort of racked up, you know, still bounce around in my head. And so this might be the first game this season where we're really putting things together, you know, in the secondary. I think the second half of Georgia we did, but, you know, Battle missed the first half. And so it's too small a sample size to say, hey, when we look like we're getting our guys in the secondary together, we shut out the other team. I think it's too small of a sample size to say that. But if we do that today, then that might be an interesting thing to start to look at. I think Helms is playing a lot better. Kai's playing a lot better. So I think that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And then, damn it, I'm still anxious to get some of these young guys in. I still want to see Trey Sanders just – really sort of live up to some of his promise. And I want to see Javon Baker, you know, let's see what he's got there. So
that's the downside of not playing, you know, the UT Chattanoogas and, you know, Eastern Tennessee States, right. You know, you're leaving the starters in, you know, much longer than we normally would.
Or, you know, in honor of Brian, Tennessee Chattanooga.
Well, have you seen the stats where they're comparing Mac Jones to what's his name from LSU last year, the first four games?
Oh, Joe Burrow.
Yeah. You know, and we played, you know, Georgia, this, that, and they played Southern Georgia. And, I mean, his stats were neck and neck with Joe Burrow after four games. I mean, this is a super jinx, so I'm not going to talk about
it. You're the one saying it.
I know. But I got my fingers crossed and toes crossed, too, so –
You know what's funny is
like a super jinx, so it's a reverse jinx.
Okay, I'm with you.
But, you know, all the Heisman talk is the Clemson players, and You know, Mac Jones' stats are better than Trevor Lawrence's this year with one fewer game, and Najee's doing better than Etienne with one fewer game in every meaningful way, and yet they're hardly being talked about.
Yeah,
that's okay, though.
It's fine by me because all that stuff tends to get in players' heads.
I'm sorry, what's that?
It eventually get itself worked out.
Yeah, it does. It does. What I always find interesting is, and this isn't always the case, and this season might just be different, you know, altogether anyways, but there's always sort of a media darling at the beginning of the season. And there's at some point in the season where there's an inflection point and that person may do nothing wrong, but the media just gets tired of them. And then so there's a new flavor of the month, you know, in the second half of the season, and it's sort of running up to the voting. So I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, but the problem is there's not another real, you know, because the Georgia game was the highlight game where we, you know, dominating Georgia, you think would be, you know, making the players move up. And there's not really another marquee game left on the calendar until you get to the championship game.
Right. And that, would that count in the voting?
I'm not sure when they vote. Right. I think it's after the championship game. I think that's still considered regular season. So
yeah. And so I don't know who's going to finish second in the ACC, but if we face, you know, Florida or Georgia again, that may come down to sort of a referendum, you know, type game.
You know, Dave, just piggyback off of what you were just saying there, what jumps to my mind, and I'm terrible with the years, but it was that year Leonard Fournette was the Heisman darling. And then we
had a lot to say about that.
That exactly. 32 yards rushing, right? And we're both undefeated. And that was the last you heard of Leonard Fournette.
Yes.
And then went to Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah.
Right, instead. Yeah. So it's all media driven, the whole thing. It's a beauty contest, really, is what it comes down to.
And, yeah, we put an end to him, and we put an end to Florida State's run, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, after we beat Florida State in that opening game,
they've not recovered.
I mean, they haven't done anything. I mean, they had a nice couple victories here recently, or one, but man.
Three head coaches later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we broke his leg. Oh, man.
Francois?
DeAndre Francois.
So, I felt so bad for that kid.
That's right.
I know.
I mean, he was the Heisman favorite going into the season, one of the Heisman favorites. Yeah. That's right. He broke his leg, and that was the end of that. So,
I felt really bad for, obviously, the kid. This is my soft side, I guess. I felt really bad for Florida State fans. I don't have a dislike for Florida State fans like maybe I do other programs. And so think of a fan and you're going into that game, it's one versus two. We might even play them twice this season because we're so magically poised for all that. And just literally to be gutted, like just gutted, and to think, we have a whole season of this. I just had a moment of like, I really feel for their fans because if I were in their shoes, I would be miserable.
Well, and frankly, as Alabama fans, we want Florida State to do well because they put up a challenge to Clemson, right?
Yeah, right.
So it makes Clemson's schedule like a cakewalk
if
Florida State's just down in the dumps every year.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, you were going to say something a minute ago. Yeah, go for it.
We had that kind of feeling last year when we lost to it, right? Broke our leg.
Yeah. Yes.
Which kind of brings you to the point is like, how dependent are we right now on Mac Jones? Now that I think about it, I think we're fairly dependent on him. I think out of all the players on the field, he's probably the most critical to us right now.
It's the nature of the position, you know, more and more. You could say the same thing about Clemson, if Trevor were to go down, right? And absolutely.
Yeah, Bryce is probably the more talented player, but he's not ready, I don't think.
I don't think he's ready. I mean, I think that I think we could win, you know, I don't know how profound this is. I think we could win the most of the rest of our schedule, but I don't know. Would he be ready by the SEC championship game? I don't know. So I'm going to do it, Charlie. I don't want to.
Oh, no, we're the only difference is Mac Jones, you know, he just looks solid. You know, Tua, you looked at him some days and you think, man, that boy gets hit hard and he could go down. Mac Jones just looks a little bit more, you know, stocky and a little bit more brickish.
Well, but he's been hit. And so I tweeted Dave about that. I feel a lot better about Mac because he got hit probably six times in that game. I tried to count him, but then I got sidetracked. But he got hit. And then a couple times it was not like the offensive line's fault. He just rolled out. He kind of tackled hard. But he got up and just kind of fought through it, which I think I'm pretty sure Tua would have laid there. You know, I don't know if it's just their body type. I mean, I think Tua seemed like he was just thinner framed, or, you know, I don't know what the.
So I was thinking much the same thing, and I was even questioning myself, which is the chicken and which is the egg here, right? Because we started, you know, when Tua would go down, you know, almost like, oh shit, is he going to get back up? But some of that was after he had had injury. I don't remember. Did I feel that way about him pre-injury? I don't know. But Mac has really taken some shots, and I haven't had that pearl clutching moment, you know, like I have against, you know, with Tua. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you guys have some thoughts on, you know, how you guys have viewed that as well.
I think it's up here.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't have anything behind Tua, right? I mean, once Jalen had transferred to Oklahoma, I mean, you know, we were like, who the hell's this Mac Jones kid, right? Some three-star high school kid.
Had we only known.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true, but I think Mac in his head, I think Saban has kind of talked a little bit about it, and it's this, I don't know, I have a thing, I think I have a similar thing. It's that negative voice in your head that kind of, forces it allows you not to take positive compliments so well, but it kind of this negative narrative of like, oh, you can do better. And so it's always talked about, you know, you try to get that to go up behind and so that you can have the confidence to do the play at hand. But what it also gives you is that it allows you to fight through a lot of struggle because that, you know, that negative thoughts like get up, weakling, get up, you know, you kind of talk to yourself that give yourself that motivation a little bit. I think that's what Mac has.
And he stayed, right? Which is interesting because the mindset, you know, right now is get into transfer protocol and go try somewhere else, right? I mean, even Alabama's lost a lot of, you know, turned out not to be very good quarterbacks. We've lost a lot of quarterbacks. He's like, I want to go somewhere where I can get a chance to play.
Yeah.
Well, in an ironic way, Tua going down allows Mac to play in the Auburn game, the last couple Auburn games.
Yeah.
Kind of secures his spot. I mean, he had a couple interceptions, but I mean, he played a good game, and in an ironic way, had Tua not gone down, maybe finished the season, and Mac wouldn't have had a chance to play in Auburn or some of these games. You know, it would have been interesting to see how that would have played out this year, right?
Yep.
Kind of ironic.
Yeah,
it is, and even with COVID and spring practice. So think if he had never really played, and then they both get what appears to be an equal shot in the spring. I think as a fan base, we would have paved over.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Mac's, you know, relationship with Minshew is kind of coming out, right? Because they both played on the practice squad or whatever. I don't know, you know, and so that whole history has kind of sprung up and helped Minshew be a third leg. And that gives all three of them better opportunities to get the ball. So it's interesting to see how things play out.
Yeah.
I kind of see Mac's toughness. And when he runs, little shades of Jake Coker there, you know, he's not afraid to take the shot, you know, and along with that, you know, you're not nervous. Like I think it was Clinton, you're saying that, right? That, you know, you're not nervous when he's taking the shot, you know, it's particularly with Tua, you know, after his first injury, couple of injuries, let's say it was his ankle that was giving him problems, you know, like, geez, you know, what are you doing? Don't run, Just sling, do what you do best. Just throw it.
Clearly, we didn't have any confidence in Mac Jones, right? Because we put Tua out there for a lot of games where he was just hobbled and not at his best. Maybe we shouldn't have.
But
I think you're getting at it. I think the offensive line, our offensive line, is probably not getting as much credit as they need. Because there's a lot of times where, you know, I guess last year, you know, Tua got hit pretty hard and was kind of open hit, but this time it's kind of been limited. But at the same time, you know, they've allowed the protection to last for seconds so that, you know, Mac's able to throw the ball, and then it's easier, I think, to take the hit when you don't have the ball. And so sort of kind of protect yourself after you throw it. And so I think the offensive line has kind of been part of the reason that too. I think there's a little bit of that to play. I think they're better than they were last year.
I agree. I've heard speculation, or it's reported. I've not sort of done any compare over it, but that Mac's more willing to check down and throw the ball down, whereas Tua wanted. And look, you know, this is not a criticism, you know, he wanted the big play, and so he would wait sometimes a little bit longer for the big play, and he hit a whole heck of a lot of those. So that's not a criticism. It's a different approach to. And it's a subtle difference, but that may be a subtle difference that is contributing. I don't know.
Kind of where I miss Tom being on the podcast every once in a while, because I think back to when Jalen Hurts was quarterback, and he just really didn't like Jalen. And you were there, Dave. You're like, you kind of keep bringing him back, and it was right. It was fun dynamics. And you were ultimately, I think, more right than. He was. But you know, it was just funny that year, the whole back and forth. He'd love Jalen, he'd hate Jalen.
Yep.
You know? And, so right, we all did. We just didn't see him grow. I mean, I think
right.
He grew and acted.
I don't know if we ever told the story on the podcast, but that was the USC game in Dallas where he came in and he didn't start the game.
No, but
he essentially, you know, took over the starting job in that game. And for the life of me, that quarterback that started, that we thought there was a couple of them. There was a Blake Barnett, and then there was another quarterback. I can't remember.
David Cornwall or Cornwell, wasn't it?
No,
it wasn't him.
It was more of a mobile running quarterback. It was the kid from, I want to say he was the kid from Salt Lake City, but I can't remember. His name escapes me. But at any rate, it was, you know, all through Blake camp.
Barnett?
What's Blake that?
Barnett?
Blake Barnett's Blake one of them, yeah. But there was another. Yeah. I can't
think. Well, Blake started. Blake started that game.
Blake did start that game. And then there was another
he
one that
fumbled
a little bit. But at any rate, so all through camp, and I'll tell him, Tommy, a little bit. He doesn't – I mean, he obviously loves Alabama, is a big fan. But he doesn't follow sort of the day-to-day, especially, you know, a month of camp. He's just like, all right, what do I need to know? Like,
oh, Cooper Bateman's who we're looking
Cooper
for.
Cooper Bateman. There you go. That's the guy. So all through camp, it was a battle, right? And I one of the sites I check out is Tighter Insider. I like Rodney, you know, what he has to say. And he's there at camp. And so early ish into camp, maybe a third of the way through camp, he was like, man, this freshman, you know, he's pretty good. He's going to, you know, and by the end of the camp, Rodney was like, I'm not predicting that he's going to start, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did. And probably, and so I had already sort of, you know, gone through this mental exercise of, I think we're going to see Jalen Hurts play, and it might be quite interesting to see how he plays. And so that's where I was. And Tommy was like, Blake Barnett's the guy. There's no way that he's not the guy. And so, and Blake did not play long in that game before he was pulled out, you know, and Tommy sat through that whole rest of that game pissed off. Like, you mad. It's like, Blake wasn't given a fair shot. I thought he was good. He took him out. I said, Tommy, did you see how Jalen played? Yeah, but that's, you know, the guy that had put in his time and all that time. And so, there was a little bit of that mentality that Tommy will, and I love the guy, but he'll hold on to like a notion And so he carried that through like the whole rest of the, you know, the whole rest of the season. And it's like, well, Jalen's getting better. He's going to get better. And you guys, you know, you heard sort of that dialogue, you know, through, and there were times where I was kind of, you know, it looked like he wasn't progressing, but that last season, and then he goes to Oklahoma and at any rate, but that's a little sort of behind the scenes. Tommy was really mad.
And he's playing in the pros. He got in on Thursday.
I know.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that game.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and Blake Barnett, meanwhile, like transferred to like six different schools, I think, right?
Well, yeah.
He went up with like South Florida or something. Yeah.
He ended up transferring to a lot of places. So, Doug, you said it was too soon. Is it too hurtful if I ask if that patch of sod can play defense for Alabama?
Yeah, well, you know what? You know, speaking of that, you know, they're talking about moving Dalvin Tomlinson.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, not that we're going to get into the pros too much, but they traded Marcus Golden back to Arizona. And so now all the word is in New York that it's going to be a fire sale and Dalvin's on the list. And I'm like, I don't know if I like that.
I don't. I think he's a good piece. I think he's a good piece on a defensive front.
Great,
I think
run
he's a star of a defense, but he's a steady.
He's a run stuffer. You don't get really any glory there. You
know? Right. But you know, you got to have him, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Doug, I'm surprised you haven't brought up Ismael Shropshire.
I was going to. I was just waiting for an opening there.
I was like, man, he's gonna come out of the gates on that one. Holy cow, I am surprised and disappointed and a little bit it's the nature of it. And what's ironic is this is a game he probably would have gotten some reps.
Exactly.
Jamel Burrows and then Tim Smith's played. Tim Smith played some last week, and I guess he just felt like he was getting passed over. I mean, to some extent, yes, but damn, you play so many defensive linemen that there's room for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm disappointed about that, but maybe it's not too late to change his mind. Other players have.
Well, it kind of reminiscent of the first interview guy. What was his name? Terry, right? The guy we liked.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was saying that they were talking about the Tennessee linebacker there, Toto, or however you say his name.
Yeah.
And then that basically, you know, he probably picked Tennessee over Alabama because he knew he could start there. So, you know, when the Shropshire you know, probably figured, hey, I'll give Alabama a shot. Probably figured, you know, I maybe thought he could get the start, seeing he wasn't. All right, I'm bailing out, picking up my ball, as they say, and then I'll take my talents elsewhere.
The irony is Toa Toa could have started in Alabama.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
I mean, yeah, holy cow.
You know.
But, oh, man.
Some of these guys, I think, want to get out in three. And so I think what you do have is a higher risk at Alabama to have to play 4 years, even if you redshirt, you know. It's just that so much competition. So it's a different mentality of player. And that Saban's never shied away with that. It's like, if you're going to play here, we're going to play the best players.
Yeah.
And if you're the oldest player, it doesn't mean you're going to play.
It's the process. Everyone knows about it.
Yeah. You know,
it's not a secret.
And, yeah.
So, I was disappointed with that too, because I thought, because I'm with you there, Dave, I think he could have gotten some playing time, particularly today. I think a lot of guys, if it's a blowout, which it should be already at the half, you know, second half, I'm thinking we're going to get to see some guys that we haven't seen yet.
It's a position where you play so many guys, right? You know, you could reason that quarterback, you typically play one, maybe there's a backup. I could even make a case for offensive line. If you're not in the top, if you're not in the five and no one gets hurt, then it's hard to sort of break in. But you think of, you know, positions where literally you rotate and it is a deep rotation. That's a defensive line. So I would think that if you're in the group, you don't have to beat out six people to play. You know, maybe I just need to get half a step ahead of the guy next to me. I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you. That's sort of
exactly
the line, right? And then there's reps. There's reps, you know, at the end of that. So I don't know. Yeah. What do you do? And Cecil Hurd, I think, was right. He was sort of reading in between some of the lines that Saban said in answering a question about Mac Jones is, you know, if a player will come and learn from those ahead of, I can't remember the quote, but, you know, learn from the players that are ahead of them, you know, spend that time, you know, getting better and learning. And, you know, when the opportunity comes, then you're ready. And you could see that maybe not coincidental that was his answer to the question the same day that Shropshire put in for the portal.
So I think it's really the point, right? I think if you have your mind in the right place, you don't necessarily get better by playing in the game. You get better by practicing and all this behind it. And you don't have to play. And that goes really for the running backs because they, you know, you could argue the running back doesn't probably want to play in as many games. You just want to play enough to get, you know, notice to go to the next level. But you don't want to run the tread off your tires, really.
Yeah, I agree.
Here's a question. Let's say Shropshire. Let's just pretend he ends up at Auburn. I mean, you know, just to throw
that's
it out fun. There. I mean, I'm just picking somebody that we're going to play.
Okay.
You know, I mean, how much knowledge? I mean, how much can he damage us with the knowledge he brings? Not necessarily his time on the field as a player athletically, but his knowledge of the defense, how things work and all that stuff, you know, basically spilling the beans on what Bama does, you know, how much does that factor into these type of moves?
I have a thought, but somebody else go first.
I figured if he knew, he'd be playing. Yeah.
That's correct. But also I think it's worse when coaches do it. I think coaches by definition spend a lot more time trying to analyze. And it's really like a defensive guy is probably going to give away more on our offense than anything else because the defensive guys never play against the other team's defense. And so they always play against the other team's offense. And so I don't think he teaches their offense. They're like a player won't teach the other team's offense how to attack our defense. I don't – that's a stretch. But I think it's possible, like signal stealing and stuff like that. That's all possible, but
I don't know. Some of the hand signals – or some of the calls that they might make. I think he could share something like that. I think those are the types of things that they could just rename the calls or signals. Yeah. I don't know the philosophy or sort of the attack that he could that he could necessarily bring something that a coach wouldn't already picked up on. And I don't know that I don't know in terms of, you know, being able to speak to personnel, this player struggles in this type of setting. Players can sometimes bring that type of material. But I think I'm going to say this will sound more harsh than I want it to. But if you take a player like a Shropshire who appears to almost just be quitting, then I wonder, you know, there's probably a lot going on or not going on there mentally. That I think he might not be able to bring that type of intelligence to an opponent.
No, yeah, I mean, because I'm just what I'm basing the question off of is you see in the pros,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Giants get rid of Dalvin, let's say, you know, you want to get, you know, send him off, you know, to the NFC West. You don't want him in your own division,
right?
I mean, obviously, right. I mean, obviously he's good, but it goes beyond that because he also knows a lot about what you do.
Right. You know? I think but that's a different sort of caliber of player. I think it was.
Oh, no. I understand that. But I mean, it's just the idea of,
right.
I mean, you know,
but
how much
there was right. Taking it to the pros is where I wanted to go a little bit as well. It wasn't this year. I don't know if you guys watch Hard Knocks, and I'm not going to remember the player. It wasn't this year, but it was last year's Hard Knocks where they were, and it was a preseason game, you know, whatever. But whoever the team was on Hard Knocks, they had a player from the other team. And so the coach – and they just showed, you know, a meeting room setting. And the coach was, you know, here's what you can expect, you know, from the other team, defensive line, whatever the position group was, yada, yada, yada. And they said, hey, you know, so-and-so, you played with them last year. You know, what can you speak to? And he actually gave a more detailed personnel assessment of the team than his own coach did. And I think that's, and for me, that's like a true professional, you know, in the league, right? That's, you know, doing what he needs to do to keep his job. And so I think you have that type of circumstance, but I consider that more the exception than the rule probably. Mm-hmm. And then I would not, and again, this was more harsh than I would intend it to be, but I don't think Shropshire is that caliber of, you know, sort of player or resource maybe.
Yeah. Football mind.
Yeah. Well, guys, I gotta jump off. I gotta get ready and watch the Nebraska Ohio State game.
Ah,
my daughter.
So what do you think about that? Did Nebraska get hosed? Did they not only start with Ohio, but then next week they have Wisconsin, and don't they have someone after that?
It's their own fault.
Yeah,
it's their own fault. They were the big mouths over there in the Big Ten wanting to play, so they can't complain about the schedule now.
So it's a perfect kickoff to a Saturday talking to you guys, right? And then watching Nebraska play, even though it's a tough game, and then 2:30 Minnesota time is the Alabama game. And then 6:30, I graduated from the University of Minnesota, so my Gophers play Michigan.
All right.
For the little brown jug. So
it's
a great start to talk to you guys and talk about Alabama football. And
fantastic.
And then sit and watch three games and then just hope my blood alcohol content stays below.
You're going to have your own little brown jug, right?
That's right. And Dave, yeah, Chris got a cigar comment on your little quick five-minute thing was just classic.
What's that?
Your comment on that, on your 5 minute thing after the Georgia game.
Yeah.
But you're glad you're doing a podcast as opposed to driving somewhere or something. That struck home, buddy.
It's safer to podcast than drive somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I got that. Nice. All right, guys, I gotta bail off. Nice talking to you. All right.
Take care, Charlie.
All right. See ya.
Fantastic.
What are you guys smoking?
Got your cigar ready. Fantastic.
Ashton. It's one of the special ones. I always do something special for this game. I really only smoke like maybe two cigars a year.
Right. No, that's cool.
Free game, right? It's the free day where you can smoke and say that you're still not a smoker.
Right? That's right. This one doesn't count.
Just participating in a long-lived tradition.
That's right. That you missed me. Fantastic.
And so, yeah. Yeah,
speaking of cigars, I mean, what does it say about the coaching staff that, you know, Butch Jones is still an intern?
No, that's awesome. I wanted to bring this up. I'm glad that you did. I was reading something last night that I knew, and we've mentioned it on the podcast, but just I'd forgotten about it. And so it was like finding the $20 bill in your wallet, you know, that you didn't think was there, but you know, kind of knew it was there. But so anyways, I was reading about Butch Jones, and so his annual salary at Alabama is $35,000, and his payout from Tennessee, which is multiple millions of dollars a year, pays out through February of 2021. Right. And so the real answer to the question is going to be come March. What does he do? come after the first of the year. But it just brings me such great joy that we are just paying him a pittance and he is being paid very, very well from Tennessee.
Yeah, we did send him with Lane Kiffin, right? I mean, granted, it wasn't in conference, but he was getting paid nothing to be offensive coordinator because he had all the USC money coming.
Yeah, exactly. So we definitely have done that. We probably have others because there's multiple other coaches on our staff in that type of role. Charlie Strong's probably being paid by someone else, and one of the Stoops brothers. I can't keep up with them all, but one of them,
Mark,
yeah. So he's probably getting some cash from one of the Arizona schools. So I don't know, but yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens. You know, does he move on after, or is he, you know, promoted into some other, you know, type of role? is he the next offensive coordinator if Sarkisian, you know, moves on? And that doesn't make me – that's not a warm and fuzzy thought, but it is a thought. So, Clint, I saw you wrinkle your nose on that one. You don't like that at all, do you?
Oh, no, I can't describe anything worse. after watching what he did up in Tennessee. And so, I think the trend will continue. We'll get a failed coach. Which is great. It's great. Yeah. I think.
Well, he is a failed coach, right? At least a failed head coach.
Yeah. I think that whole mentality about that creates just a positive mantra around his entire program.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish there was a way we could score 300 points on Tennessee today and they just fired Jimmy Pruitt at halftime or something. And it's Saban just like, come on over here.
Yeah, you did. I only listened to one, I guess, the first of the two podcasts you did with, you know, the Tennessee podcasters.
Yeah.
And you're kind of speculating about that. But, I wouldn't mind having him back. I mean,
not at all.
He's not Kirby Smart, but, he's certainly an upgrade over Pete Golding. You know?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, goodness.
Just an interesting thing. In line with that, I'm kind of Twitter pals. I think Dave, Twitter pals with Ivan Maisel. And we were DMing this week because he's got a Volvo, and he's always on the lookout for.
Maybe
some great tips. Because remember, I was supposed to be in Tuscaloosa this year.
Yeah.
And so we're DMing. We were talking about Auburn, when Gus gets fired, which could actually happen this year.
Good.
And, bouncing around, Pete Golding, if he might be offered the job, and he's like, I don't know. And I said, well, what about, I think he brought up Will Muschamp. I'm like, no, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
But then, then he mentioned that the Ole Miss AD, I think his name is it Al Green? He's an African-American AD anyway. And as Ivan said, he's a little bit forward thinking. I'm like, oh man, Charlie Strong. And so I was like, okay. I was like, so I just wrote to him. I just hope that, if Nick plans on elevating him to DC, do it now.
Right.
Do it now.
Do it now to keep him right, or at least let him know it's coming.
Exactly. So maybe we might have a chance for a year or two. You never know.
But, that's what it is. So I think, Pruitt doesn't probably demote himself to a coordinator position just yet, because I think that's the biggest struggle for him right now, is learning how to be a head coach.
Yeah.
So he probably is much more likely to try out a head coach at a smaller institution or, Conference USA or something like that.
Right.
Rather than going backwards and giving up on head coaching, unless he just absolutely hates it. But I don't think that's the case either. I think he's just trying to learn it.
Right.
I think jumping into Tennessee is obviously a big jump, to never have been, a head coach before.
It's, that becomes an interesting, question if you have, if you have those two options. So do you go back to Alabama for probably similar pay? And then, suddenly you're going to be one of the hot commodity defensive coordinators, in the country, and then use that as a springboard, almost with sort of the Kirby Smart model. Or do you go to a smaller school where if you continue to struggle, you can almost wash out, and then you end up having, getting back at the defensive coordinator position anyways, with a little more sort of stain on the resume? I don't know. That would be a hard, really, really hard decision. But I was surprised. Go ahead.
When you compare the two, like Charlie Strong, he's kind of had a few head coaching jobs that didn't play out. And so his head coaching, his head coaching resume needs some
cleanup.
And Pruitt's not quite there yet.
I agree.
Like, he's not quite, in need. He could still get a head coach job somewhere.
Yep. I agree. I had a thought. I lost it.
Scores? Anybody want to take a chance at the scores? Oh, is that always the very last?
No, we could do scores. What do you got?
I always say that this score is going to be 70 or nothing. But realistically, I think we're at 42 to 14.
42 to 14.
Or maybe like 42 to 12. Maybe they don't get up this day.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think Saban wants to run it up too much on Pruitt. You know, maybe, yeah, maybe you know, 49-17, something like that.
Okay.
Keep it under 50. Yeah.
James, you stole my score.
Is that where you're going?
Yeah, that's where I was going really was the I think the 50 rule is going to be in place. So I was going to take it right up to the right to the limit there and put it at 49.
Okay.
But, 17. I don't know if Tennessee gets 17. I'll put them at 10.
Okay.
49-10.
I'm thinking, you know, 52. What I want to see is the equivalent of that Justin Fowler long touchdown. Michigan State. I've never seen Saban so mad about a 60-yard touchdown run. That was glorious. Oh, that was so glorious. He was just so mad that his player was running for a long touchdown. And you know, like almost on a fullback dive. You know, we clearly were not trying to score, but we did. And I just
couldn't stop, coach.
Right. That was just the most Saban awesome thing ever. And so I would love to see like a remake of that and, you know, get a field goal in there and then get that last touchdown on a long run like that to get it up to 52. So that's what I'd like to see. And then on their side, I kind of want to go 17. I don't know. I think they're going to have a little bit of success, and I don't know that I trust our defense enough to, I mean, look, I'm holding them to 17, but I don't know that I trust our defense enough to, you know, keep holding maybe just to one score, which that'd be awesome. 52-7. I think there's a better symmetry to that. But I think they probably have, like I said, I don't trust our defense. So.
Yeah, but it seems like two scores is about everybody's kind of handling.
Yeah,
2 touchdowns or maybe 14 to between 10 and 20 points.
Yeah,
I think the higher they score, the more we score. I think if they get 21 or they get 24 or 28, we're going to get 60 or more.
Yeah, yeah. You could almost see when you know Kirby had sort of given up the ghost last week, and then Saban just went straight to run, and yeah. He didn't rotate guys out because you know he knew. You know, he needed to keep with the front guys, but he said, okay, you're not trying to score anymore. I'm not going to try to score anymore either. And
that was true, Dave, because that was the most plays Georgia defense had faced. Cause we had 70 plays. We had 70 plays against Georgia.
Yeah.
And unbelievable for Alabama. But what the last, the fourth quarter, when we ran the ball two series, they were both 10 plays each. And so they had already played their normal 50 play game by the end of the third quarter.
Yeah.
And I guess that could explain a lot about, you know, how that game ended. The reason why they couldn't shut down the run even when they knew it was coming.
And yeah.
So the same thing for Tennessee. I did the same analysis, forgot to bring it up earlier. It's like Tennessee has not played 60 plus plays.
Yeah.
They played Missouri and in South Carolina, and they had so many three and outs that I think they were in the 50 play range.
Yeah. Yeah, this goes back a ways, but one of the games that we lost to Texas A&M, you know, years ago was after an 80-play defensive struggle against LSU where we played, you know, the starters so much. And our defense was playing – it was some insanely low number. It was, you know, like 58, 56 – snaps they were averaging, and then you think the starters were even playing less than that because a lot of, you know, and so to have to play a full 80 games, 80 snaps against LSU, barely win that game. The next week, you know, in the hot afternoon, they are, I don't know what the weather was, but they were just gassed.
Yeah.
What was that, the Johnny Manziel game you're talking about?
I think
it was, right?
I think that was part of it. And I don't, you know, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Manziel. They had.
No. I don't mean him personally. I mean, I just that yeah, that's the A&M game you're talking about.
A&M lost
them. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I have like a two score rule, and usually what I find is when Bama goes up by two scores, let's say two touchdowns, that usually takes the air out of the other team.
Yeah,
there, particularly on defense, because they just at that point they're like, okay, we're just not going to catch them, even if they really could. You know, I mean, we saw it in Georgia, and we eventually saw it when Ole Miss blinked, you know, went for the field goal. Okay, that's our opening, you know, and then we went up ahead there a couple scores. And then, so, you know, really after, you know, after I would expect, you know, Bama jumps out to a 14-0 lead, maybe, hopefully, then that's the end of Tennessee. You know, it's just not going to, the heart's not going to be in it.
A lot of that depends on how early in the game that is, right? And so the earlier in the game, they might feel like they can come back. But you're right; the more that sort of weighs on them, and the second half in Georgia, they realized, oh yeah, we gave them our best shot, and now they've come up and put this lead on. They just folded. So, and that was joyous. That was so much fun to watch.
Well, it was. I mean, it was just a sense of relief. It's like, okay, yeah, you know, when they went up a couple of scores, okay, you know, you're not going to catch us. It's just not going to happen. So.
Right. Yeah. I agree. All right. Any other topics or anything else you guys want to cover? What game are you looking forward to watching today? Obviously, the Alabama game. Yeah.
Man.
I'm gonna watch a little bit that Ole Miss Auburn game that kicks off here in about 40 minutes.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. That'll be a nice little appetizer game.
Yeah, go Lane.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, seriously.
Where the hell did that offense that he had against us, where did that go last week? Absolutely kidding me? No.
Exactly.
Well, I think what Arkansas did is that he should play our into our game plan for his state. Right. It's probably what we should have done against Ole Miss.
Zone.
They're playing zone. They had a lot more just, you know, not man coverage.
Right.
Yeah, create the scenes like you do in a zone, but it's, you know, you're not the stakes. You know, if you complete the pass, it's just a 10-yard pass.
Right. No, I agree. They definitely put a template out, Arkansas did. And you're welcome, Arkansas. We definitely showed what doesn't work. So don't do that. Now let's make something with everything else we have left.
I'm just having a quick look at the schedule here, but there's really not a lot that jumps out.
The Clemson Syracuse game is not going to be fun to watch, but I got a lot in the first half, so I'm interested in that.
The first half? I don't know. The first quarter, maybe.
30 points they got to cover in the first half.
Okay. Oh, that's what you're watching for. I got you. All right. Well, see, there you go. That is the evidence that having money on the game adds a level of excitement, because otherwise, what is there on that one?
Exactly. And it's the only reason why I do it. I don't bet a lot of money. I just do it for instead of watching.
Yep. I'm with you on that. Yeah, I think Syracuse, man, they had they beat Clemson once, and then they almost – did they beat them? Yeah, they did beat them. What? Didn't they almost beat them another time?
They beat them another time. They knocked out Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
In that game that they almost won.
But they got blown out last week.
Like a third-string quarterback, because that was the – wasn't that the week that Kelly Bryant stopped playing?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You know what? I think you're right. That's right. It was Kelly Bryant got knocked out of that game, right? Was it Trevor that came in?
Well, I think he transferred. Because I think after four games, that's back when the redshirt rule was four games, and so he said I'm going to transfer. I essentially quit, and then that next week, because he had lost the job to Trevor Lawrence, and so that next week, Trevor goes down, and he just gets dinged up, but still he had to come out of the game. And so they were down to a third string. I don't know if he was a former walk-on or I don't know what he was, but he was a third string quarterback that had never played before and okay. rallied them to win the game because they were struggling. So
I'll give you one data point for Syracuse. They got beat last week by Liberty by two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Oh, Hugh Freeze. I'll tell you.
I think Clemson's punter can put 50.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, that won't be a contest. I'm with you on that. Hugh Freeze.
Well, stumbled upon that. Where's he going to go after Liberty? Someone's going to come a knocking.
I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn tries to hire him.
You know, funny enough, I brought that name up with Ivan, and he just wrote back, "I hope not."
Well, I mean, that's true for so many reasons, but I mean, I mean, this is the team that had the secret meeting with Bobby Petrino years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's funny to think that, you know, if you think of all of the sort of air quote grievances against Petrino, how far down the list that one now ranks. That used to be cut up, you know, publicly up near the top. And, well, people forget about that one now.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Bobby somewhere now, right? I can't remember where he is.
He is. Yeah, he's somewhere. I can't remember where. If it's one of the small sort of directional Arkansas schools, or is he in small directional Kentucky schools? I can't remember. But he is somewhere. But definitely –
Missouri State.
There you go. Okay. Well, yeah. So to think that he was an NFL quarterback, I mean, his stock has really come tumbling down. So I don't know.
Well, a lot of it he did on his own, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, he earned every bit of that.
Himself on the, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm not gonna necessarily feel bad about him.
Nope.
But,
surprising.
But yeah, but it was going to be fun. Kind of sticking with the Auburn theme a little bit would be Tommy Tuberville in the Senate. I wonder if he's going to say they're going to have to take me out of the only way they're going to get me out of there is in a pine box.
Yeah,
this time around too.
Oh my! Oh, these coaches sometimes, right?
Yeah. Good luck to them. That's all I can say.
That's right.
You know, you never know.
Travis or David, you guys got a score prediction?
Well, I was going to go with the 50-point rule. So I was going to set it 49, and I was going back and forth between whether Tennessee would get 14 or 17.
Okay.
But yep. I guess I'll give them a field goal, 49-17.
49-17. That's a good one. We have some groupings around those types of scores. That's good.
Yeah, it was. I mean, definitely last year was an unexpected struggle, really. I think what was the final score? Was it like 36-16 or something in the end? Somewhere in the 30s, I think.
Something like that.
Diggs, I think, yeah. But the game was a lot closer than the score indicated.
Well, Trayvon Diggs took care of that, right?
Well, exactly. Yeah, because they were – Tennessee was actually making a game of it at that point.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you could say, well, you know, watch out for Tennessee. You know, but then again, they just do not have the weapons that they did last year.
Right.
So.
Well, and all that contributes, you know, it's like we're one of the best teams in the country. When you play Tennessee, if it's not a complete blowout, it's like you screwed something up. You know, people expect you to dominate.
Yeah, and we'll probably get Tennessee's best game.
Yeah.
So what do we think is going to happen, though, after Ohio State probably dismantles Nebraska? Is it going to be Auburn? Auburn, listen to me. Because Ohio State is ranked 5. Do they go up to 3? Exactly. So you get – Clemson, Bama,
they do.
And then Ohio State, right?
I think they will.
If they equip themselves, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's such a sort of a hunger to put them into the group. Right. And so putting them five is given just a little bit of restraint, but when they have a win, they'll bump up to three.
And then who do we have at four? Georgia?
Yep. I think Georgia. They're on a bye this week. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's anyone else you could put there.
I think Ohio State and Penn State, you know, probably get the typical, you know, Big Ten.
Yeah. They'll get some bounce. Michigan, if they beat, you know, Minnesota, that's not a bad, you know, that wouldn't be a bad, but I don't know that would be enough to get ahead of Georgia. I think they would really start to fill up, you know, the back half of the top 10, but I don't know that puts them ahead of Georgia.
You're right. But I think it is what you're seeing. Like when you saw last week with North Carolina ranked number fifth, it's just a dearth of talent or teams to fill up the top 10 that people are just struggling to fill it up with.
Struggling. Yeah. I agree with that.
Big 10, Pac-12, when they come in, they'll naturally fill that up with undefeated teams.
Right. And I mean, I'm not knocking the quality of the team necessarily, but it's a fresh brand, you know, to come in. You know, you start to have, you know, borderline, you know, 2 and 3 loss teams in the second half of the top 10. That's not a top 10. And so even the teams, you know, in Oregon, a Penn State, you know, Michigan, whoever it could be that hasn't played as many teams, at least there's an expectation that they're legit at the position. Mm. You know, there's, and I haven't looked at the top 10 in a little bit, but there's probably, you know, a bunch of non-legit top 10 teams that house it right now.
Because that's the big flaw of the season though, because I mean, you're just having these truncated schedules.
Right.
And you know, it's, like I was trying to say earlier, it's like, how do you untangle all of that?
Right.
You know, how do we really know that Ohio State is going to be number three?
Right. You know,
they're not really. I don't know who they had in their non-con schedule. You know, if they had somebody big or not, I really don't know.
Right.
Oh no! Wait. What were they supposed to play? Oregon? No. Maybe that was someone else. But we really just don't know.
No, I'm not sure who they're playing. But no, you're right. I don't know. You know, they're also a team that always, I don't say always, but they have really laid some eggs in the middle of their seasons before, right? And then, you know,
Iowa.
Iowa and Purdue really, you know, embarrassed them, you know. And so you think this is a year where a team like Texas and Oklahoma really could have asserted themselves, you know, forward, and they took a step back. And so you really, you know, we can't have a top 10 this year because we don't have 10 top 10 worthy teams, even amongst, you know, Oklahoma and Texas are brands and you know, even with their struggles. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think you're going to have, you know, you're going to have a collection of teams that you think are top five teams, and you're just going to have to take it on faith that they really are, even though they've not played, you know, as many games. Because part of the challenge is the gauntlet of the season. And I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, because Oklahoma's dropped two already, right?
Yeah. They have. And has Texas dropped two or just one really, really stinky one?
Texas has dropped two. So you have Oklahoma State and I think Kansas State are the top teams in the Big 12.
Okay.
I think they don't meet the eye.
Say Kansas State.
Kansas State, yeah.
Kansas State. They're one of the teams that beat Oklahoma.
There you go.
That's right.
So they did.
Them in Texas.
So is Oklahoma State legit? I've not watched any of their games.
Are they? They're not playing this week, right?
I don't know.
Let me have a quick look. Keep talking. I'll let you know.
Are they on bye or on COVID?
Good one. Yeah.
I thought it got postponed or something. I don't know.
They have.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
We're supposed to have Oklahoma and TCU today.
Okay.
But I don't, Oklahoma State, Iowa State.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And Iowa State's not an easy out. So.
No. No. Right. Yeah, getting ranked against teams out of the Big Ten that are having you mentioned truncated. It's extremely truncated for those guys, and then we get lumped into the same ranking system, really. But I'd like to see them have to prove themselves a little bit.
Right. When's the playoff committee? It's always sort of October, but this, like I said, this season, the whole thing of it's kind of crazy. Do we know when they're starting to put out their rankings?
Ooh, that's a good question. Excellent question.
Because there's one, I think it'd be one thing to put some of these teams in the, you put Ohio State 1-0 in the AP. That's one thing. That's a whole nother thing to put them in the playoff committee top four.
Right. And so I think what you're left with is like, it's the uniqueness of this season. You have preseason polling type information for some of these teams, and then you've got a resume for how do you treat someone that's maybe not done so great on the resume versus someone that's done nothing, but maybe looks good on paper.
Yeah, it looks good on paper. Yeah. Man, if they get on top of, think in the context of all this, right? If they get on top of Oklahoma, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to score 80 points because they've got to win two games today, right?
Yeah.
Something to sort of catch up.
November 17th. Apparently, okay. Supposed to be that's the first one. Yeah,
that sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, should I edit that out on Nebraska for Charlie? And we're just talking, man. We're just talking, Charlie. We're not mad at Nebraska.
Wouldn't it be something if they snuck up on him today?
That'd be awesome. Man, yes. Yes.
Well, weren't they? Wasn't Nebraska the one ruffling feathers at the beginning of the season when they were talking about?
Yes, they were.
Right?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, that, I'm sorry, Travis. Go ahead.
And then they randomly end up with Ohio State in their week one, right? Like
Wisconsin week two and Penn State week three.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier.
Yeah,
they were the ones flapping their gums that we should be playing, and blah 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 blah, and now you can't complain about the schedule now, can you?
So nope, you get to play, which is what you wanted.
So congratulations.
Hey, but I support that, and if there's anything that I can do to help them go 3-0 in that schedule, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I support them wanting to play too. I think it's great.
But if they take those lemons and turn them into something. Something better than that.
They got nothing to lose.
Right.
Right. Well, remember how shocked we were when Mississippi State blew LSU out? That wasn't even the only first, that was the first game of the year. That wasn't even the only shock and surprise. We're going to get a heavy dose of that today.
You're right. They're going to get all the surprise factors that everyone else has gotten. Yep. Yep.
And we can't forget, according to Christine Brennan, this is the darkest day in Big Ten history.
In the history of the entire.
Which means what?
Oh, man.
You have to ask her.
I would think they've had some dark days, but for that one to rank.
Yeah.
So the Penn State sexual assault scandal is less worse than this?
Or Michigan State.
Less worse than playing football on Saturday?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Jerry Sandusky, you're off the hook.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Brennan.
That's right. Dave, careful when you publish this thing, man.
This one might not go out.
You
Yeah, maybe this one doesn't go out.
We might get a few angry emails there. You never know.
It's a pretty restricted distribution. We're probably.
Oh, man. All right. Yes. All right. Any parting shots? Any parting shots?
No sharks.
No sharks.
No sharks. Yeah.
That is good. That is good.
Not for another 30 years.
No sharks. Yeah, want to keep those to a minimum. Absolute.
Right. Hope we do it in real time. That's it. Hope we do
all
it.
All right. Roll Tide. Nice. Absolutely. Fantastic. Yep. Hey, gents, this is always a lot of fun. Appreciate you guys joining. And when's our next one? Our next one is
Thursday.
It's Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to this Thursday. Game, so I can't do Saturday morning next week. But so yeah, this week will be Thursday night.
Oh, no. You mean you don't want to do it live from Tuscaloosa?
I'd get some looks setting up this at the bar, I guess. But
well, when you say you're going, are you going into the stadium and all that?
Yeah.
How do they do that, Dave? How do they allocate the tickets? Because it's 20,000, right?
It is, and so. You know, we've had Tap-Rite tickets for a long time. And so they basically, they broke up the season really into two buckets. And so you could request tickets to the first two games, which included the Georgia game. What was the other one? Texas A&M. Or you could get the three games at the end, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Auburn. And so they sort of equated, you know, the two games are better than, you know, than the other three or about the same. And so I looked at it and I said, well, I prefer later in the fall anyways, because of the weather and it's not so hot and I just enjoy going. So I'd rather go to three games than two just anyways. And so that was one way that they sort of split it. And then they did, you know, tiering where the tickets were not, you know, relative to what you've contributed for the full season, they wanted to keep as much of that as possible. So they really sort of jacked up the tickets. And so like they had the premium, and they didn't define what they were, but I guess like between the 20s would be like the premium seating and however they sort of divided up the end zones and stuff. So we're in the top corner of the upper deck. So
no.
two tickets up there for the next three home games. And apparently, and then it was all based on how many people, some people opted out and they didn't want to go to games anyways. And so it was all on, you know, the Tide Pride point prioritization. And so we were at least high enough up to get some consideration for the cheap seats. So, so we'll see. But
oh, okay. Yeah. Cause I was always wondering how they're going to do that.
You know, I noticed that when they would pan out to the crowd, there was a lot of people not wearing masks in that stadium once they got in there.
Once they got in, yeah. 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 They do have, you know, and, you know, we've all seen a lot of games where it looks like, you know, there's a lot of folks attending, you know, some of these games at other stadiums. And one thing that they did in Tuscaloosa is they put the chair backs. They're bolted into, I don't know if you guys have seen them, they're bolted into the stadium, what is it, the bleacher. And then they put those in pairs and sometimes groups of four all around the stadium. And so they can, and I don't know how tightly they're monitoring this, but they can pretty quickly sort of look around and say, you know, are people out of their sort of assigned seat? Are they not sitting on one of the chair backs? So hopefully that's creating some separation. And then once you're in the stadium, out of the concourse, I haven't heard this officially, but I would imagine once you're in the stadium, out of the concourse, in your seat, separated that way, that that you probably could take your mask off. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know.
Non-game related, but they stole the A from the place next door?
Yeah, the Rammer Jammer. They brought it back. Someone brought it back.
Some lady brought it back with no questions asked or something.
Well, is it, you know, yes, that is true. When you read further down that article, you read further down the article, and the guy was like, you know, clearly this was a college student and her boyfriend looks like, you know, put her up to returning the sign. So it wasn't like some lady, it was some frat guy's, you know, girlfriend that said, just get this damn sign back, you know, so we don't get in trouble. That's the story you'll never hear, but oh. I'm sure I don't know. I'm making this up because I don't know, but I'm sure that landed in, you know, in someone's apartment or, you know, fraternity house, and someone sort of, you know, prevailing wisdom said, we can't have that shit here. That is so public that A is missing. That's not like a cute, like we have a stop sign that you never know where we got it. We all know where that A came from. So we've got to get it back.
You can't take that anywhere.
Yes, that's right. So that was a wiser mind moment there. Yes.
So Dave, you've been... I was just going to say, it's almost like when Army stole the Navy goat.
Yeah, that's right. It's fun, it's cute, but we can't keep this.
Dave, you've been getting good Bryant Denny stories in?
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. I don't have a single one. I am almost embarrassed. I've got to go back. So you guys send us a story. I'm almost embarrassed to go back to the sponsor and say, man, I don't have a single one.
Oh, shit. I've never been there, so I...
Make one up.
Oh, man.
That one time you saw Dave in the stands?
That's right. Holding my big A. This is my plus one. So, yes, the story. There's a really good chance you're going to win a pair of glasses.
Because that was open to all the listeners, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't think we'd get like hundreds, but I thought, oh, man, I'll get 8 or 9 or 10 of these. And I haven't gotten a single one. So,
I mean, I can't go to the game. So I just, plus I don't have.
But this is for the glasses. This is to win a pair of the glasses. Mm-hmm. So they are pretty cool. Have you guys?
I've actually ordered 2 sets.
So they're wrapped. Look how they're wrapped pretty cool. I'm not trying to do a sales thing here. You guys see it? They're wrapped pretty cool. And in the glasses, I mean, these are pretty cool. I really like them, but they've got the, can you guys see that? There's a script that's in the bottom of the mug. I don't know. They're pretty darn cool. But anyways, a pair of these, or they come in pints. And, but yeah, send me a Bryant Denny story, and I hate to say we don't have any. I gotta go back and say, hey Stefan, man, I didn't get anybody to send me a story. So
well, have you used them already, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They work really well.
Sure they do.
Well, last someone commented on the Georgia, you know, quick hit. That was those glasses at work.
So I've already ordered 2 sets. So I've got mine are on their way.
Fantastic.
You got 2 sets?
Nice.
Christmas gift.
Yep.
Nice.
Oh, I was going to say, you only got 2.
Win another set.
Did
you think of somebody else being another Christmas?
Do you mix and match the pair to have one whiskey and one beer glass, or how do you do that?
I don't know. You probably could if you want them. So I don't know.
Good.
Did you get the pint glass too, Dave?
I did not. I got the.
Oh, it's just a tumbler.
Tumblers, but okay. Yeah, yeah. But right. Clint, you said you got pints. Is that right?
I got tumblers.
Tumblers. Okay. Yeah. Someone. It was Paul. And I don't think he's part of this group. But he posted them on Twitter, and he ordered like 8 glasses or something, or 6 or 7 glasses, but most of them are pints. And, I'll have to ask him.
I think Charlie was going to get beer glasses, wasn't he?
Somebody said that. Yeah. So I don't know. I have to hear how they look on the. I mean, they look cool on the site, but I've not held one of those. The tumblers are pretty cool. So, yeah, send a Bryant Denny story. Have a really good shot at winning. And
what about a field story.
What's that?
What about a Legion Field story?
I'll take that.
I was there when Stacy ran back that touchdown in 90. I think it was 90, maybe.
Who was that ran it back?
Stacy. Remember Saran Stacy?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
In the end zone, watching him take it in. I think we beat Tennessee 45-10 that day.
Sounds right.
I think I was 10 years old. I think it was 86.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 12.
In 90?
No, in 86. I think it was, I, what I was thinking about is like I wasn't. So I think my memory is old. I was born in 76, so whenever 10 years from that is.
Okay.
86, when I was born.
There you go. You guys are killing me. Man, that Tennessee guy, Doug, you even commented. That Tennessee guy was like, oh, I don't know. I was born in 95, so my favorite players are more recent. I was like, oh, thank you.
I don't remember when Peyton Manning was there. I was like, oh, my God, how old is this kid?
Oh, I was like, wow, all right. That's awesome. Official O-Dude alert.
I just remember this lady in front of us fell over the next row of seats, and we were laughing.
We'll take it, man. A Bryant Denny or a Legion Field. I mean, yeah. Hell, that's where we played our big games for so many years. So, absolutely, that counts. Send it in.
Send it in, and you'll probably win.
Like right now, you would be the leader in the clubhouse. So.
Well, when were you going to pull the name for that? Or read through the stories, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
You're going to rank them, right?
I think I'm going to I have to remember what I said. I think we're going to pull those in the Mississippi State game show. I'm gonna pump that up in the Tennessee show pretty hard. Hopefully we'll get some submissions.
But you're just gonna pick the best story, or are you gonna pull names out of a hat, or what are you doing?
You know, I think the Stefan with Legends Drinkware, I said, hey, how do you want me to? I asked him, how do you want me to pick these? He said, you know, I'd like to take a look at them. So. So if I don't have any, I'm going to have to show my homework on that. And I don't know necessarily if he's going to pick or if he's going to, you know, let me pick, you know, whatever, but, I got to show him what we've got.
Does he want to make sure that these stories are family friendly or what?
I don't know what his criteria is. To be honest with you.
Stay family friendly.
Well, you know, hey, we'll take them, right? Because that's still part of going to the game. So we may have to edit what makes it to the air, but in terms of picking, that may be, you know, that may be an inside track to actually winning it, though.
Well, I mean, I'm okay with somebody else winning that. That's part of the reason why I already had mine. But,
yeah. No, that's cool.
I'm okay.
No worries. No worries. All good. But yeah, I'll definitely have to mention that in some of the upcoming shows, because I'd at least have a couple to submit. So, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, fellas, this is awesome. I really enjoy these. Travis, thanks. You've been on a couple of these, but just not able to connect. So. I appreciate you joining, and looks like David, that might be, I think that's probably David Rye. He was on an earlier call or part of an earlier call. And so it looks like maybe he's on. Listen, are you there, David? Can you hear us? Yeah, maybe not. All right. Well, welcome anyways. And, But fellas, these are always a lot of fun. We'll do the next one Thursday night. So hopefully be able to join us, and we'll go from there. But enjoy some good football today. And I think Alabama's going to kind of have their way with Tennessee, and that should be a whole lot of fun. And we'll go from there. So you guys have a good one. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Thanks, Dave. Always, oh, always a go. Lot of fun. Yeah. Yep,
thanks, Dave.
Absolutely, Travis.
Got the cigars
ready to go.
All right, here you go.
Burning sticks today. All right. Thanks, fellas. Take it easy.
Okay. All right, Dave. Great.
See you guys.
See ya.